fellowship. Yeah. I remember that because I grew up in the First Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant. I think, Ray, you went to Farwell up in that area, or Gilmore? Gilmore, yep. And I actually remember you from that. And I was like, but the church would drag me along to these men's dinners, and it didn't take me long to figure out that if I endured a sermon, they would feed me. So yeah, I'm in. But I remember Ray from those, as even as a young boy, because there was something about the way you presented yourself. I heard you give announcements and speak. It just occurred to me as a young man, there is a zeal with him that I had not often seen before. And I'm grateful that as the years have passed and known Ray, you know, for many years now, that zeal has not diminished. And we are thankful for him, and we're praying for Ray earnestly at this time. We really are. But we're thankful. Are you thankful? Anybody have one they want to share? Okay. Awesome. That's something to be thankful for. Yes, Ann? We won't stop. Any other thankful people here this morning? Yes, dear. Did, oh no. Oh, that's a good one. I'm glad your dog came home. Awesome. Yep. Good work, sweetie. Mary, did you have one? There's much to be thankful for, isn't there? Even in the midst of family and friends, right here, what would we do without it? It's great, because in the midst of our problems and our issues and our troubles, in Him, we find some strength. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And you know, as we enter into the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the fun and festivities that are there, there is much to be thankful for. And we need to get it up here between our ears that we have a great God who loves us and helps. Having said all that, I want to talk about troubles today, because let me. Have you ever had a week when nothing went right? You know, it's like the old Rodney Dangerfield line. He goes, "Oh, last week I'm okay today, but last week not so good." You know, have you ever had that kind of feeling? I have. I want to talk about me today. Here, I can see the excitement now. In fact, it got to the point, and I was thinking about, I had to fill in today for Bill. I don't even want to write a sermon because I know it's going to go bad. This will not work. But it was just one of those weeks when it seemed like no matter what I attempted or put my hand to or did, failure just was. Thursday of last week, I took the day off. And when we work, you know, a day off is actually pretty cool. You have, well, I shouldn't say I had, but my sister had this laundry list of things that were to be accomplished. And I've just learned that the food gets a little better when the list gets a little shorter. You know? So, Thursday was my day off. Okay, we'll hit the laundry list. And there were projects to be done, and as I've said, did these projects and absolutely nothing seem to go right? You know, you start doing something and then it isn't correct, or you messed it up, and okay, now you gotta start again. You know, that just was me last week. Now, I know we've all experienced this. We have these self-inflicted troubles that come our way. My buddy was going to drop off a couple face cords of firewood, except he called me and he said, Mark, I'll bring that over on the 15th. And, oh, good. Until I really started thinking about that. What is the 15th of November, Bill? Firearm deer season. So I'm waiting most of the day, and then it occurs to me Jeff isn't coming. So, you know, that's one thing. I had issues with me, you know, just didn't get in the flow of the stuff I was doing. I should have been able to do it, but I just didn't. And then we had puppy issues. We have a new puppy, dear. Our puppy's name is Farley Ray. He's a hillbilly. He really is. We drove all the way to Nashville, Michigan to pick up this little bundle of joy. And, you know, I just have to admit, if you look at Ted and Kathy and Mark, you would think, okay, here are three reasonable-looking people with probably average intelligence. No. I swear that there must have been someone who entered our house a few months ago and slipped into our coffee some kind of mind-altering hallucinogenic drug that made us think that a puppy was a good idea. You know, and puppies are cute, aren't they? And you go and you look at them and they're adorable, and I picked up the biggest one in the litter and I'm holding little Farley Ray and I'm petting Farley Ray, and all of a sudden Farley Ray goes, oh, this is the one. We got to take this dog. Wow. Because you have a puppy, and I'm just going to remind you of this in case you get the crazies and decide you want one. A puppy looks at the world much differently than we do. The puppy sees the world as nothing more than a gigantic chew toy. It bites everything. And puppies can be noisy. And we shouldn't have been surprised because Mr. Yoder, the people we got a couple dogs from, he said, this one's got a good set of lungs. Yep, he sure did. And then, you know, we have this training period and we have accidents. Oh, man. So in the midst of my woodworking project for my sister, she would say, Mark, can you take Farley Ray outside? Yeah, I'd love to. Let's go out in the snow. And you walk that dog around 15 minutes. He won't have an accident outside. That's just the dog that we have, little Farley Ray. At least, but he's alive so far. And in all these things, here's a laundry list of woodworking projects that I should be able to do without any problem, but I'm distracted by my friend is not showing up with the two-faced cords of wood, and little Farley Ray wants to go outside in the snow and play and bite stuff. And just it was just one of those distracting kind of days. And my focus really was off that day. And it turned into a whole week of failure. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And some of our troubles is indeed self-inflicted by scheduling things on the wrong day or dealing with a puppy and puppy issues, and sometimes, I don't know, it may be that you just get up on the wrong side of the bed and things just don't go your way. In this world, you will have troubles. And sometimes troubles are self-inflicted. And I blame my sister for inflicting that dog on him. You should see it. You should come over and see him, though. You would just pick him up and think, he's the greatest thing in the world, but you don't have to deal with accidents. So there are some troubles we have in life that are self-inflicted. We do it to ourselves. But Jesus said that troubles basically are inevitable. In this world, you will have. That was kind of a promise. You will have trouble. It's inevitable. And so sometimes we remember what Mom told us when we were kids. So there will be days like that. Yeah, that happens. Or we may take advice from the football team and the coach after the end of a game where there's a loss, and the coach says, well, we just have to live to play another day. Got to put it behind us. Got to start again on Monday. That's what Coach D'Antonio said on Saturday. Okay, we understand that. Or here's another, it's a cliche, I admit, but I kind of like this one, that failure is nothing more than an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. That puts a nice little spin on trouble and failure. But can I ask you a question this morning? I've been kind of a little bit silly with Farley Ray and some of this stuff, but think about this for a moment. Does it really matter how we deal with life's small problems? Go like this. Yeah. You know, it actually does, because it goes to our spirits and our happiness and the joy that we have. You know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 20, it says there, if you falter in times of trouble, that's Proverbs 24:10, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? See, in many ways, if we aren't handling the small problems well, what will we do with the big ones? It is important. Little troubles. Little problems, because sometimes they can become bigger ones. And if we're not dealing well with the small issues, then we have a problem. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. It's coming. One of the basic problems here is that for some, troubles become an excuse to live foolishly. I gotta take a break here. I got trouble. You know, the cough drop might not help. That's trouble. Had one in, two's got to be better. There's a song. You ever heard of Kenny Chesney? Yeah. It's the simple things in life, like the kids, the home, and a loving wife, that you miss the most when you lose control. And everything you love starts to disappear. Devil takes your hand and says, no fear. Have another shot. One more beer. I've been there. That's why I'm here. Troubles as an excuse. And many people in AA and similar groups, I mean, thank God they're there. But troubles can lead to bigger ones, can they not? We need to deal with it in the proper way. Finally, guess what? I've got 3 points and I'm on number three. Take heart. You know, the Bible says that troubles are momentary. Are you aware of that? Scripture says troubles are momentary. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but as what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. They're momentary. And they pale in comparison to eternity. And we lose perspective at times when maybe we allow troubles to become so large that we're not dealing with them well. Little problems, as opposed to big ones. You know, for some, and our family has dealt with this past year, there may come a day when the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. That happens. I want you to think of it like this. The doctor may say, nothing more we can do. God never says that. Ever. 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 Jesus said, be of good cheer. Not that medical science has overcome the world. I have. Be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the temporary. And it is now swallowed up in eternity, which we are a part of in Him. Are we not? Be of good cheer. You know, as we start the week and we're all thinking about Thanksgiving and what that means. Be of good cheer in the midst of trouble. Because in Christ, the temporary gives way to the eternal in Him. Where are you at this morning? Have you experienced the eternity that comes only in Christ? I have a hymn of invitation today.